Just have one principle because we just have a few minutes. I think that was like a full service that I want to take away from what we heard. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. And we heard that in one ABD class. And we'll just reiterate it. Now from Isaiah chapter 28 to chapter 32 is one section. Feedback. Is one section, okay, and in this there are five woes. Five woes and then one woe. The first five woes are to God's chosen people, and the last woe, the sixth woe, is to the enemy of God's chosen people. And I like what Pastor Anil shared. Sometimes when we live in the wow, you know, there is another word called wow. You know? It could be possible we may get empirical in our ways. We could get feelings oriented, and then God must speak in an objective sense. God must speak His word in order for us to be objective. Okay, now in chapter 28 verses 1 to 8 you have the rulers, the priests, and all these people are drunk in their own conceits. Okay, they have erred big time. Okay, even they, it's referring to the priest and the prophet, they have erred through strong drink and all that. And then verse 8, their tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Again it is repeated, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And interestingly, see what happens. Yet they would not. And as a result of it, did God change his strategy? God didn't change his strategy. In verse 13 it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's repeated. Now, see the consequence, because people refuse to hear. The word is the same. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It's very interesting, isn't it? Precept is God's authoritative mind for us. It's God's authoritative mind. The word of God that has authority over our lives, and that must define the boundary lines of our thinking. It must be the mindset for us. It cannot be a fable. Fables cannot be a mindset. Anything that has a measure of ecstasy with it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3, it says, do not give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Because those things, verses 3 to 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1, those things minister questions, strife among people. But rather give heed to godly edification which is in the realm of faith. So, Word of God is not a fable to us. Fable is anything that has a measure of ecstasy with it, meaning it has a way of connecting to the empirical side of our lives, which are feelings oriented, can make us very subjective. And interestingly, what happens with a fable, as we shared in the class yesterday, the first day, a fable does not promote the unity of the spirit, but it always promotes falsehood among brethren. Because the headship of Jesus Christ was not honored in that preaching. And you know the one thing, the reason that the word in some measure has borne fruit in our lives is because, thank God for the soil of our hearts through which we heard, there was a right soil. Many times we are like the fourth hearer, maybe sometimes. Once in a while we are like the wayside hearer. The second Sunday we are the, and finally the fourth Sunday we are on. We are the hearer hearing properly, and the seed is beginning to bear fruit, you know. And when it is a precept and not a fable, it does not promote falsehood, it promotes unity among the brethren. It promotes unity in the body of Christ because the headship of Christ is honored. So whenever the headship of Jesus Christ is honored, it the spontaneous effect is it results in fellowship in the body. And this fellowship promotes unity among the brethren. And so that was the purpose why God gave the precept, right? Line upon line, referring to categories, here a little, there a little. And though, thank God, many times the soil of our heart is very important. And by the way, sometimes, you know, we are confused, as Pastor Guru beautifully said, God, your plan doesn't seem to fit into my reason. But the plan of God itself is a mystery, because plan of God is in an amazing way designed by God, not primarily to secure our ends with what we want. The plan of God is most importantly designed by God in such a way that it would break up the fallow ground of our soil in order to receive the seed of the Word of God. So the amazing way God has designed this plan, and Psalm 18 verse 30, the Word of God says, it is perfect. So if the plan of God would involve a transition in my personal life and in our personal life, if the plan of God, okay, there are many, what we envision in the plan of God is tuck, 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 climbing ladders, climbing ladders, climbing ladders, which is fine, great, and God does that, and it is that. In the long run, we do see that amazing kind of prosperity in the other realms, as Pastor Anil beautifully shared, in the other realms. But, again, as Pastor Guru said, it is still unpredictable. We could be called many times to go and dip in the Jordan, 7 times. It is designed primarily not just to secure our material and physical ends, but it is designed most primarily to prepare the soil of our heart so that the seed of the Word of God that is preached to us or that is sowed to us goes into the right soil, and the necessary consequence because the seed has gone into the right soil is what? John 15, it bears fruit. It bears fruit. Now, this is what was mentioned in verse 12, in Isaiah 28 verse 12, God wants to give us rest. He wants the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And so the Word of God has an amazing purpose with it. Now, if we go negative in our free volition to the word that is preached to us, okay? According to verse 13, God does not change the word. The Word of God is still unto us what? Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But because we have chosen to go negative in our volition to the word, though the word remains the same, it's producing another kind of consequence in us. Which means what? We will have our transitions. Churches that preach and teach the word of God will go through transitions. But the word doesn't change. And if, as long as we give heed to the word that is this is the word which cannot be changed, and man is called to live by every word, regardless of the transition that we have in the soil of our hearts and the kind of consequence we may face as a result of it. The good news is, this is the word of God to us. And all it takes for God, what God tells us in verse 12 is, just connect to hearing. Just connect to hearing and hear the word in such a way that our will is totally aligned to what God says. Isn't it? That portion in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 11, Pastor Guru said, what did Naaman say? I thought he would come and meet me and we would have a cup of tea together and, you know, discuss the issue and, you know, and we would have our exchanges and things would be fine. This is how we think. I thought this would happen. The guy did not even come to meet me. Who does Elisha think he is? Does he not know who I am? Hide your leprosy and just imagine you are. Does he not know who I am? He just sent a word through his servant. But then true deliverance happened for Naaman when he shifted from what he thought to what God said in verse 14. It didn't make sense. This is what I thought would happen. But then when he humbled himself and he said, okay, this is what God said, and I'm just going to agree with what God had said. Meaning, from being negative in his volition and being angry and furious in his volition, when he turned positive to the word of God, guess what happened? There was an amazing healing. So the word of God is always unto us what? It is precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We compare spiritual with spiritual, we compare scripture with scripture, because according to John chapter 10 verse 35, scriptures cannot be broken. And God just simply calls us to hear the word, receive it in the realm of faith, so that we can objectively reason for application and wisdom in the details of life. Isn't that amazing? And the measure in which we've given heed to it, the measure in which you've heard it, the measure in which, now this is a good point, Jesus Christ just did not come to save us only. He also came to offend us so that the word would take root. And once the word takes root, according to 2 Kings chapter 18, the remnant who hears it, they will bear fruit upward. The root downward and fruit upward. And this is our life. So no matter what is the condition of the hearer, the word of God is always unto us. Thank God it's not a fable. I'm always so thankful. Like, you know, we are part of a ministry where the preacher is not a clown, you know, doing, what do you call it, all that gymnastics on the stage and all that kind of stuff. No, no. He's not like a magician or a clown. And the word is unto us. It's precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. It's categories. Thank God we have devotion, but we have also categories. Here a little, there a little, so that the weary would be caused to rest and not the other effect. And it all has to do with the manner in which we tune our ears to what God has spoken to us. Amen? Great morning, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the messages that we heard today, and we bless your holy name, God. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, the word of God is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, but then it also says for correction and instruction in righteousness. And that is where you get us. If we let God correct our thinking, then we are safe. And the reason God would choose to offend us in that sense is so that we would not be a victim or a captive by the allurements of the world system. Thank you for the way the word is preached to us. It is a word of your grace. There is grace with it every time we hear, so that we would receive a capacity to hear that truth. There is grace that comes with it, but it's the truth that's spoken, and it's not a fable, and it instructs us in your ways, and we thank you for that. And teach us to be people who enter into a meditation based on the word. If the word has been a precept to us, It has been precept upon precept, categorical thinking with God and not a fable. We also pray, Lord, our meditation would be lined up accordingly, so that we would experience tremendous rest in our relationship with you and fruit. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.